might end up at a porn site. Not that there's,
that there's anything wrong with that. Welcome to the Brand Engine Podcast, where we use proven strategies, real-life case studies, and actionable tips to help you, the small business owner, take control of your website and build your brand online. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of the Brand Engine Podcast. My name is Gerald Porschman, and with me once again is my co-host, Barry Moore.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Well, in the last episode, in episode 4, we talked about building the Presentation Coach website. And I think one of the big differences was is that people who have been listening know that I have a website called GeraldPorschman.com, which provides a lot of soft skilled services such as, you know, managing work priorities, performance coaching, time management, team building. But also 80% of my work from that site is also media skills, media presentations, voiceovers, and as well being able to be a great public speaker. And one of the things that we discussed that within conversation with Barry is that Barry had suggested that it was probably a better idea to maybe differentiate the two and separate the two. So still have my GeraldPorschman.com website, which provides all the soft skills, but also have a separate website where people can, if they are looking for any presentation skills to be able to upgrade and update themselves with, rather than going to Gerald Porschman because they wouldn't know what he does, they would simply type into their Google search or their search engine, presentation skills, and hopefully what we're going to design is over time is that we will be able to have me come up as one of the top hits or at least on that first page. So we want everyone to be able to have a look and see how we work on that process so that we will now start to build through the following podcasts here a separate website which will be called the Presentation Coach. So I guess when I was talking to Barry, one of the things that we decided to do was to sit down, nut out, and find out exactly what the Presentation Coach was all about. And for those people who listened earlier, you would have heard that I was speaking to a brand expert, Nikki Fogden-Moore, who talked me around how do I get to actually come up with that name. So even though I might have had that name for a while, but how do I start to brand myself? So Barry, what are your thoughts? And talk to me more about what do we start to do now to develop my new website called the Presentation Coach.
Yeah, right. Yeah. For those listeners who are just joining us on episode 5 here, you might want to go back and listen to episode 4 where we talk about a little bit about the case study. But what we're going to do is build a site, and you can follow along, look over our shoulder, and you can apply all the tips and tricks that I'm going to be teaching Gerald. You can apply those to your own website to generate traffic and generate sales. But so we made a decision that for this particular product that Gerald wants to push and wants to sell, wants to get customers for, that it might be better to niche down to promote just that product and build a brand out of that presentation coaching product that he's got and create a whole brand online around that so that anyone who's looking for that will find exactly that and they don't have to look through any clutter. I want presentation skills. This is where I go for it rather than trying to dig through a bunch of other different offerings. And really kind of build Gerald as an authority figure around presentation coaching. So a bit of authority marketing, as it's called. So what we did is the first thing, before we even picked a name for the product or even before we picked a name for the website, we did a bit of quick research around what particular keywords we might be able to rank for, meaning that normally when people go to Google, they're typing in some sort of inquisitive question into Google. How can I find this? Where do I go for that? How do I do this? So what phrases do we think that your potential customers would be typing into Google? What keywords are they going to type in? What results already come up for those particular keywords? And how easy would it be for us to rank your website above and beyond the people that are already appearing in those listings? Can we beat the people that are already there? And how easy is that task going to be to get us onto that highly coveted first page of Google? So just to preface this, if there's any SEO, that's search engine optimization guys out there, that's a whole kind of black art field in the internet is SEO. if there's any SEO experts out there, I realize there are much better ways to do this keyword research with some specific keyword research tools. But for those beginners out there who might find those tools too complicated, this is just a quick and easy way to have a look at what's already out there and how easy is it going to be for us to rank for those particular keywords. So that's the process we went through. And what we're going to do for you listeners is we're going to step you through that process and you can follow along with us on how we came up with the name Presentation Coach for JLD's website.
So what you're really saying is that ideally, if somebody was looking for me to, you know, engage me into some presentation skills, they wouldn't find me if they were to just type in presentation skills, because they would get, you know, 500 million responses back on that. So are you telling me that once we go through this process, we could probably, if done right, land on the first page of a Google search?
Absolutely. That's the goal. We want to get you on that first page because, you know, how often do you ever go to the second or third or fourth page? Very rarely. So if you're going to build a brand and you want people to find you, you kind of have to get inside their head. So people are usually typing stuff into Google because they're trying to solve a problem. Your customers in particular want some presentation skills coaching because maybe they need to give a presentation or they just want to get better at public speaking. So the problem they're trying to solve is, I need presentation skills coaching. I need presentation skills training. So we want to kind of do some research around those particular keywords, those probably primary keywords that they're going to use, and see how easy it's going to be for us to knock off whoever's already on the first page, push them off the first page, and get your site on there. And in later episodes, we'll talk about all the different SEO techniques you can use to try and do that. But I think it really starts with the mindset of this is where we want to be. You know, what place do we want to get to? We want to get to the first page of Google for these particular keywords. Right?
So what you're saying is that before I even come up with a name, which we chose the presentation coach, we didn't actually come up with that name first. What you're telling me is that we try and find some string of words or a phrase that is not building already a popularity out there that's already out in the net and try to compete with them. Are you saying before I come up with a name, I should just throw in a few words to see what is not really there and then build a site around that?
Exactly right. I'll take you through an example. So I'll take you and the listeners through an example. So even if you at home, if you want to open up a browser and follow along, by all means, you can do that.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just a bit of a caveat that obviously we're recording this in February of 2014. So any searchers, if you're listening to this podcast dramatically after that, a few months down the track or a few years down the track, the listings that we're talking about might be different because Google kind of rearranges everything all the time. But as of the time of recording, we'll just talk about what we see when we type stuff into Google. So for example, if I go to Google and I type in that key phrase, presentation skills, Google will return a list of results. And you'll notice if you're following along at home that the first few results are going to be ads, and they'll have that little icon next to them to alert you as the Google user that those are ads. So someone's paid to be there. So the only way we can really knock those people off is to pay more to be there, right? That's called paid traffic. Right? Mm. Normally there's two or three paid listings at the top of Google, and there might be some down the right-hand side of Google as well. Below the paid listings are what's called the organic search results. These are the ones that just naturally come up. No one's paid to be in this particular position that they're occupying. Google has just decided that for those keywords that we typed in this case, presentation skills, these are the guys that Google thinks are the best match to what we've typed in. And there's a number of quick factors you can check to see how easy it would be for you to rank above the people that are already there. So when I type presentation skills into Google, one of the first sites I see there is one from Canada.
Yeah, I've got the same.
It says the URL or the website's presentationskills.ca. So just to walk you through, there's four elements there that we want to look at when we're trying to determine how well this particular person is ranking for those keywords. So in this particular case, there's four elements there. The first one is the blue link across the top that you normally would click on if you want to go to that site. That's just called the title. So in this particular case, this Canadian site, It says presentation skills success, comma, public speaking tips, presentation skills. So those keywords, presentation skills, occur twice in the title of this person's page, right? Which is pretty clever. Then you'll see the next element is the URL itself, the website name itself. In this particular case, it's www.presentationskills.ca, Canadian site. So those keywords appear in his site name as well. And then you may also see another string of text after the slash. In this particular case, I don't see anything, but you may see a string of stuff like presentation-skills.html or something like that. That's called the URL string. So there's the URL, which is the bit which is just the domain name. Then after the slash, there may be a string representing a particular page in that site. And then there's a couple of two or three lines of a description of what that site is about. And in this particular case, this Canadian site says, presentation skills tips to help you make your next presentation a success, a simple strategy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this particular person, whoever owns that site, has those keywords right in the title twice, has the keywords in the domain name, and has the keywords as the very first thing in that paragraph description or that snippet of text. So this guy's basically got all paces covered. It's going to be pretty hard to knock him off of there without a lot of work. If you go to the very next listing, the listing below that, it says presentation skills you need. And then the domain name is www.skillsyouneed.com/presentation-skills.html. And then there's a snippet of text. So that person that's listing second there has presentation skills in the title, which is good. They don't have presentation skills in the actual domain name because the domain name is skillsyouneed.com. But they do have the word skills in there. They just don't have presentation in it. But the particular page that they're pointing to says presentation-skills.html in the URL string. So he does have, or she has, presentation skills in the domain string, which is good. And then they have the word skills and the word presentation in the paragraph, in the snippet text, but not right together. The words appear separately in different parts of the paragraph. So they don't have as many of the elements as the guy above him who has all of the elements. He has presentation skills everywhere in those four different elements. So it might be a little bit easier to knock off that second ranking. It would be easier to knock that person off because they don't have as many of the elements around those keywords as the person who appears first, which is why that person appears first.
And what about the theory of, that first guy who's got presentation skills success, and then he's got the word presentation skills up there again? What if I put in my title, if I just wrote presentation skills 15 times?
Yep, and that's what used to happen quite a lot. That's called keyword stuffing. Right? Oh. So back maybe 10 years ago, that's what everybody used to do. They used to go presentation, and every variation of the word, right? Presenting, presentation skills, blah, blah, blah. And just stuff it in there a million times. And Google now has realized that those people are basically just tricking the system. Mm-hmm. So they actually penalize people who keyword stuff. Now, this guy's got it only in there twice, that's probably pushing the limit a little bit.
Mm.
But it's natural language. It has to be natural language that a human would read as well. Google's getting quite good at that. They've come out with some updates, Penguin and Panda and Hummingbird, are algorithm updates that Google's come out with in the last kind of couple of years that have really killed people who are doing spammy, tricky stuff, and rewards people who are actually building human-readable content that people like. So all those guys that were doing the black art tricks, all of a sudden they went from page 1 down to page 23 overnight and kind of killed their business. Those people that are actually providing useful content to people who are trying to solve a problem, they get rewarded and they get pushed up to the top. But that Presentation Skills Canadian site is actually quite clever. And this is what we're going to do with your site, is we're going to try and seed the keywords in the most important part of your site descriptions like he's done. So he's got presentation skills, like I said, in the title. He's got it in the domain. He's got it in the snippet of text underneath. So he's doing all the right things, and he's been rewarded by getting the number one rank. So it would be quite hard to knock him off. The only good thing that would be in your favor is that's a Canadian site. So if people in Australia are searching for presentation skills, Google is more likely to return an Australian site to an Australian searcher than it would be to return a Canadian site to an Australian
would it
searcher.
Matter, would it also matter on the popularity? So say this guy here, he's got from Canada. Does it matter that he may have already have had thousands of hits? And then if I come along and I use that string presentation skills, but I have a better searchable engine or a better searchable process, would that mean I could still be on top of him even though I haven't had as many clicks onto my site?
That would be difficult. One of the big things that Google rewards as well is the number of inbound links, so the number of people that are linking to your content from outside your website. So I know you do a lot of work with the ILP, the Institute of Learning Practitioners or Learning Professionals. If you have links from their site pointing to you that say, hey, there's some really good stuff on presentation skills over here, Google will recognize that and say, oh, somebody thinks Gerald's content is worthy enough to link to.
Okay.
So they reward you or push you up in the rankings the more quality, and I have to stress that, the more quality links that you have from reputable sites, the more it's going to push you up. If you have a bunch of spammy links from junky spam sites, you're actually going to get punished because Google's going to see that you're trying to trick the system again by jamming the system with spammy links from bullshit sites, and it's going to push your rankings down. So, you know, if you could get links from really authority sites like, you know, Wikipedia or 9MSN or any of these big sites that people traffic quite a lot that Google respects, if they link to you, then that creates what is commonly known in the SEO world as link juice. That creates some link juice for you, and it will boost your ratings as well. So I could do a bit of research around this Canadian site and see what links are pointing to him and how authoritative those links are, and we could do a more in-depth analysis of whether you can beat this particular site or not. But the next step we did is we kind of said, well, okay, for the key phrase presentation skills, that's going to be kind of hard to knock this guy off the top of the number one ranking. But what if we try some different keywords that people might be typing into Google? So if you want to follow along at home and you type in presentation coaching, which is another free key phrase that people might type in if they're looking for presentation coaching, clearly. We can look at the results that come back for that keyword phrase. So what I'm seeing at the time of recording is the very first listing here is for a site called The Demo Coach. So it doesn't have the word presentation anywhere in the title. The URL is democoach.com. Again, no presentation in that URL anywhere. The word presentation doesn't appear.
No, that's correct,
the word presentation doesn't appear until the second line of his snippet of text. So what that tells me is that particular site that's currently ranking number one is not really keyword optimized for that phrase presentation coaching. So it might be fairly easy to knock him off of
right,
that number one ranking.
Yep.
And the person right below him is number two.
Yes.
The title says presentation skills coaching, speak with presence. So they've got presentation coaching in the title, but they're not right together, separated by the word skills. Then the name of the site, the URL, the domain of the site is speakwithpresence.com.au. So they don't have the word presentation coaching in the actual name of the site. The rest of the URL string is public-speaking-private-coaching-city. So presentation coaching doesn't appear in there either. The word presentation comes up again in the rich snippet of text. So again, this site is not terribly well optimized. Although it does have presentation coaching in the title, it doesn't have it. Doesn't have it in all four of those elements, which would really. Hope they don't listen to this before we sort your site out. But that would push you up in the ranking.
So that's really the key. Is not only to have just the in the title, but the key is to have it in all as many as we can.
As
so
many
all
of those four elements. As
yeah.
many of those four elements as you can. Certainly.
Right.
Also, which makes me a bit curious as to why this demo coach site is actually the number one, even though he doesn't have those phrases anywhere in his title or his domain or his URL string. So the only thing I can think of right off the bat, I could do some more research around it, but just off the top of my head, perhaps he has a lot of links, authoritative links about presentation coaching pointing to his site. So that might be why it's ranking number one.
Right.
But what we kind of decided once we went through this process at your house was that it will be easier. It will be an easier run for us to try and rank for the key phrase presentation coach or presentation coaching than it would be to go after presentation skills.
Yes.
Although we're still going to try and optimize around those words, we can really niche down on presentation coach or presentation coaching, and we can probably get you ranked fairly easily, at least hopefully on the first page, if not the first three or four of those listings.
But for those people listening, that still takes a fair while, would you say? It would take, if I put all those four elements in there, would you still agree that it might take, I don't know, a week, a month, 6 months before I start getting a first page return?
I've seen it happen as quickly as, say, 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
And sometimes it never happens.
Okay.
The key that most people don't want to hear because it involves work and not some magic button is that you have to produce quality content that those right. people want to consume, right? So, and we'll talk about this in later episodes. So regularly updated blog posts about presentation skills and coaching and videos, which you like to do and you do so well, and podcasts and like we're doing now, and all this kind of rich content that people want to consume, which means the more people are going to be coming back to your site, the more tentacles you can have. If you want to think of your site as an octopus with tentacles out on the internet drawing in traffic, the more tentacles you have. So if you have videos on YouTube, that's going to help you. If you have podcasts in iTunes, that's going to help you. If you have a Facebook page with links pointing back to your site or Twitter posts that direct people back to your site or Pinterest or LinkedIn or wherever your target audience is hanging out, if you have those tentacles out there pointing people back to your site, you're pulling traffic in. Google's going to see that as you have content people like to consume and they like to link to, and they're going to push you up. Now, if you just put a site up and you put, this is about us, this is our product, this is where you can find me, and you never touch that site again for like 12 months, Google's just going to go, well, this is a junk site, and it's you got no chance, basically, of ranking. You have to create compelling content or useful content that people want to consume. That's what Google's going to reward you for because that's what their customers are looking for.
So that's why we then, after we did all that research, and then you spoke to me and you kind of drew it out of me to say, well, what is it that I provide? And we said it was around the skills, but we also said for optimization, it's probably, again, people would also search, you know, coaching, you know, one-on-one coaching or, you know, private coaching or whether it's even, you know, 15 or 20 people in a group, they're still getting coached. So that's why we chose the presentation coach. And is there a difference now why we chose .com.au because we're here in Australia and not just the .com? Was it because it wasn't available? Was that one of the reasons?
Well, from memory, I think it probably wasn't available. I don't think it was being used by anyone, which is good.
Right.
But it wasn't available for purchase, number one. Number two, part of your product offering, as well as an online training product, part of your product offering is going to be face-to-face training with people who want to stand in front of the camera and have you coach them, et cetera. So obviously that has to happen with people. Your customers are going to be in Australia. So, and like I said, Google will more than likely, nobody really knows how Google works, but there are some certain things that people have hypothesized through experimentation. But if someone in Australia is looking for something, Google's more likely to return a search result in the same locality. So especially if someone's looking for something like a coach in Australia, Google's more likely to return an Australian site, theoretically, than one from, say, you know, Denmark or something like that.
So all those people out there offering, you know, to get a first page hit and charging you, you know, $600-$700, steer clear? Is that
well,
what you're saying?
It's one of those spaces that has a kind of a lot of slick used car salesman types in it, the SEO world. There are some guys out there doing good work and will do quality work for you, but there's also a lot of charlatans that may actually harm your site. Like I said, they may put up 1,000 spammy links to point back to your site, which might lift it up for a few weeks, but then Google's going to catch on that those are just all spammy BS sites from crappy little made-up sites, and they're going to punish you for having spammy links. You'll hear search engine guys talk about white hat tactics and black hat tactics, right? Mm. So white hats are the ones that are actually useful and above board and don't violate Google policy, where black hat tactics, even though they may work in the short term, Google will catch on. You're violating the Google policies, and they're going to punish you for it eventually. And like I said, people have had their whole business essentially disappear overnight. And Google, if they really don't like you, they can delist you from the search results altogether. So you don't show up at all. You don't even show up on page 1,000. You just don't show up. So it really pays to not engage in those black hat tactics. So if you're going to get a search engine person to help, SEO person to help you out, you're going to want to sit down and talk to them and figure out and have them tell you exactly what they're going to do, because it's your site and you're the one that's going to be punished if they do bad things. So that's number one. Number two, if anyone comes to you and promises that says, I can get you on the front page of Google, that's absolute bullshit, because nobody can promise that, because nobody outside of Google actually knows how the search algorithm actually works, and they change it frequently. So anyone who promises you that is giving you an empty promise. They may well do it, but then again, that might change in a month's time. So nobody can really say for sure, I know how Google works and I can get you to the top of the first page every single time. It's nonsense.
Well, that is some really good tips, Barry. And I think once we came up with our name, thepresentationcoach.com.au, what we're going to start to do is we're going to begin following that. Now, are there any final tips that you've got now for registering a domain name itself?
Yeah, so it's you know, as soon as we decided, okay, we're going to go with the presentation coach angle as opposed to the presentation skills angle, we jumped on, I think it was Crazy Domains, but any domain registrar will do. We jumped on the Crazy Domains and had a bit of a search around what was available around those keywords. And we found out that the presentationcoach.com.au was available. So we snapped that up and bought that and decided we'd run with that, because it tells people exactly what you do. There's no question about it. This guy will help me coach me through being a better presenter. So it was clear, it was to the point. It gives us a good chance to rank well for those particular keywords. But it can be hard to find a domain name that will fit what you want to do, because, you know, there's been a land rush. People have bought up all the good domain names, or most of them. So it gives you a couple options. You can try and find one to register that hasn't been bought yet. And I can give you some tips around what are good things and what are bad things, what are things to avoid. I'll link to it in the show notes, but we did a post on the Brand Engine about 7 tips on how to pick a domain name. But what you want to do is you want to stay away from stuff with hyphens in it or numbers in it or alternate spellings of stuff. So if you sell running shoes and you want to have a domain name that says runningshoesexpress.com, for example, and you think you're going to be clever and you're going to spell it the word express like XPRS or something like that.
Yeah.
In your domain name, well, guess what? When someone hears your domain name, that's not what they're going to type in when they get back to Google and look for your site. They're going to type in the proper word express, E-X-P-R-E-S-S, and you're probably 9 times out of 10 going to send them to somebody else's site who actually has that domain name. So don't be clever with alternate spellings and silly stuff like that. Also, try and stay away from numbers if you can. So if you had a website, you know, that was a coaching website and it was called onetoone.com, and you say, hey, just go to my website, onetoone.com. Mm. Now there's a big question mark in that person's head. Is it the number one, number two, number one.com? Or is it the word O-N-E with the number two, O-N-E.com? You know, now they don't
know. Or W-O-N.
Yeah, exactly. So now they don't know what your domain name is, and you just confuse them. And they'll probably try once or twice and then just give up. And you also want to avoid trademarks, you know. Trying to piggyback on someone else's trademark, that's probably a bad idea. They're probably going to come after you with a cease and desist letter sooner or later.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea if I was selling fireplaces to maybe have a domain name called, you know, the hot and warm room? I mean, it might point me in the wrong direction.
True. you might end up at a porn site. Not that there's anything
wrong with that.
But the other thing you might want to think about is when you're registering domain name, whether you want to make it brandable or service-based. And what I mean by that, if it's service-based, you know, we've gone with the service-based one for you, the presentation coach. It tells people what service you provide. It's pretty plain and simple. Or if you're a plumber in Western Sydney, you might want to go with westernsydneyplumbing.com.au as opposed to joebloggsplumbers.com, because people who are going to consume your services are people who need plumbers who live in Western Sydney. So that's probably what they're going to type into Google. But you could go with a brandable name. It just takes a bit more effort to brand it up and to get people understanding it. And what I mean by a brandable name is something that doesn't necessarily isn't necessarily specific to a particular service. So you can actually come up with nonsense words and brand them up, as long as people know what to expect when they type in that nonsense word. You know, for example, Google, Bing, Yahoo, Amazon, none of those words have anything to do with the service that those companies provide. They've just picked a word that they can brand around and educate their consumers as to what they'll find, and it's easily rememberable.
Yeah, brilliant.
But I'll put that. I'll put a link to that seven tips article in the show notes, and maybe we'll do up a little bit of a breakdown of those four elements as a downloadable PDF for the listeners as well, so they can walk through it just like we did.
Well, Barry, we're just about to run out of time, but what have we got in store for the next episode?
So the next episode's coming up. So now that we have our domain name for the presentation coach, we've got to have somewhere for that site to live. We've got to find a web host. So we're going to talk about how to find a web host, what you want to look for, and how to get it. Once you have some hosting, how are you going to get a website up and running? And then in future episodes, we can talk about what brand message you want to give to your customer. So the last thing you want to do is once they get to their site, for it to be a confusing mess and they don't know what to do. You want to really have a clear and concise message, because you only get a few seconds. If someone lands on your website, you only get about 10, 20 seconds for you to communicate what you're about and what action you want those users to take next. What's the next step you want them to perform? So we'll talk about how to provide a consistent brand message to your customers. And then once we've done that, how are you going to get them to take the action that you want? And then how are you going to capture those leads so that you can potentially turn those people into customers?
Well, a whole show full of great tips once again. And that's about it for this episode of the Brand Engine Podcast. And as always, we would love to hear your feedback. So jump onto the website at thebrandengine.com/episode5. Leave us some of your comments below, or you'll also see the show notes down there, or you can use our great widget called SpeakerPipe, and you can leave us a voicemail.
That's right, and we'll play your voicemail on a future episode, and we'd also love it if we could get a review on iTunes. So if you could jump over to iTunes, to the Brand Engine podcast, and leave us an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate that. And if you think there's anybody else who could benefit from this advice, friends, family, anybody you know setting up a website, by all means, send them the link to this show. We'd love to have them as the Brand Engine community as well.
Well, thanks very much, Barry. That's it for this week's episode. So get out there and build your brand online.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Engine podcast. You can find all the show notes, news, and upcoming events over at thebrandengine.com.